Amen. Amen. Micah chapter number 7, while you're turning there. So good to be back in the house of the Lord with all of you tonight. Amen. We give honor tonight to your good pastor, their family. We love and appreciate the Moats family so very much tonight. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for the shepherd of this local assembly. Amen. I'm glad to call him my friend tonight. And we love them so very, very much. Cannot say enough good about the Moats family. And they are tremendous, top-notch people. And if you call them your pastor tonight, you are truly blessed. Amen. Thank God every day for your leadership and the vision that they are casting for this assembly. Amen. Excited for that new church out there on the hill. Amen. The great future of Calvary Pentecostal Church. Amen. 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 God's so good. I feel a stirring in the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Amen. I feel like God has set the stage for what I'm about to try to deliver you here tonight. Amen. I hope that you got just a few minutes, and I hope you brought your listening ears. Praise God. Amen. My daddy used to drive a truck a little bit, and I can remember every now and then he'd get on that CB radio, and he'd say, Breaker 19, do you got your listening ears on? Anybody got their listening ears on tonight? Come on. Come on. Do we got our listening ears on? Hey, if you'll put them listening ears on tonight, God's going to talk to you. You're going to leave here with some help. You're going to leave here with some victory. You're going to leave here with some shout in your spirit. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Micah chapter number 7, verse number 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Verse number 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Woo! When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Boy, I feel something bubbling in this house tonight. I just want to preach to us for a few minutes tonight. And while I'm preaching to you, I'm going to preach to the devil a little bit. I want the devil to know, hey, devil, don't start your party yet. Woo! Come on, somebody's going to get a help tonight that they came needing to this service. Come on, let's lift up our voices and praise God for strength and victory in this place. Come on, grab somebody by the hand and just shake them a second. Tell them, let's praise the Lord in this house. There's victory in Jesus. Yes. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to lay a little foundation, so just hang with me, okay? When we study the scriptures, you'll find it easier to understand the Bible when you come to grips with the understanding that there are divisions in scripture. The Old Testament consists of 39 books, the books of the law, the historical books, the poetic books, and the prophetic books, which consist of what we have come to understand as major and minor prophets. The New Testament is 27 books long. We have also divided that into four categories: the Gospels, the historical books, the letters, and then the book of Revelation. By utilizing these divisions tonight, it helps us to keep the Bible in proper perspective. Certainly, it aids us in understanding our Bibles. And so the largest segment of scriptures would be the expanse of the major and minor prophets. The Old Testament prophets were God's final answer to disobedient children of Israel. God gave the time of the judges around 450 years. Then God gave Israel the kings for another 450 years. out of these segments of time, there would be prophets who would come on to the scene. These men of God would speak directly to the people on behalf of God. When Elijah broke onto the scene, nothing was ever quite the same again, being one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah was the first prophet that seen quite the miraculous repertoire in his ministry. And some of the other first prophets as well were miracle workers by the power of God. And the sad reality is that many of the miracles that they would see in their ministries had little lasting impact as a tool of instruction to the people of God. Man forgets too quickly what God does for him. So God then shifted his anointing to writing prophets. It would seem as though some of the miracles would come to an end, and God would shift more to a speaking and writing ministry that would speak unto his people. This proved to be the salvation of Israel and eventually the New Testament church. The written word has proven to be the anchor of the people of God for millennium tonight. Amen. The major prophets were not only writing prophets, but they were preachers to the nation as well. They begged, they pleaded, but most of all, they preached. Thank God for somebody that will preach to us. Don't have time to get into it deeply tonight, but you study it out. These preachers did some bizarre things to get people's attention. Oh, some bizarre things. And the sad reality of it is, even though there were some people that they would turn toward God and repent, the majority would still go on in idolatry. And it would seem that majority-wise, it was to no avail. So these prophets, even though they did everything they could under the unction and inspiration of God to try to reach a backslidden nation, amen, they would ultimately go on to pick up the pen and write what God had told them to say to these people as a testimony against them, that God sent you a word and you had an opportunity to get it right. Don't let it be said that God sent you a word and you didn't do what God said to do. Come on, we're living in the last days. It's time for us to listen and obey. Amen. The major prophets included Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. These major prophets, what the scholars have labeled as such, as far as defining what that would actually mean tonight, is these four major prophets left a lasting contribution that transcended the centuries of time, and it still affects us here today on the other side in the New Testament church. Isaiah gave us some of the best one God scriptures that you could ever want in a one God Bible study. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, amen, was one of the greatest Old Testament preachers of all time. From the very heart of this young man, he would preach with passion to the people, with tears rolling down his cheeks, trying to reach the nation, amen, seemingly to no avail. But God would speak hope in the mouth of that prophet, even though they rejected what he had to say. Jeremiah understood that if they'll just listen, at some point God will have mercy on them. Ezekiel gave to them the concept that the glory of God can reside in heaven, yes, but it can come down and dwell among us like it's doing here tonight. Daniel would prophesy and tell much about the coming events of the end time, letting us know that there's a rock that's going to come down and destroy the kingdoms of this world, and His kingdom shall never end. These major prophets, amen, brought powerful words to the nation, which shifts the focus next to the minor prophets. Amen. All of these issues that produced the major prophets brought about the same coming of the minor prophets. Some of these men's ministries intersected in history. We have a hard time relating to the fact that there were people that lived in that little region that never even met each other, because we've got such easy access to everything and everybody. Oh, but it lends credence to your Bible that men that never met each other spoke things that coincided hand in glove with one another, because God was the author. They were just the scribes. First of all, these minor prophets are very brief in length. I told you I'm going to lay a little foundation here tonight. Y'all just hang with me. Amen. Next, they are generally narrow in their application and even to their audience. For example, the major prophets spoke to the nations around them as well as to Israel. Minor prophets focus on one area or one nation. Next, their subject material is focused on a limited time era. And lastly, many of them played a supporting role to the major prophets. Many of what their contemporaries would be those major prophets. And then one thing is startlingly clear tonight is that God not only dealt with Israel, but God dealt with the world. Amen. Many times it's overlooked in the Old Testament that God was not only dealing with Israel, but God was also speaking to the world. God's always desired to reach the entire planet. God's always desired to reach everybody in the world. It's still not the will of God that any should perish, but it's His will that all should come to repentance. Some say the Old Testament's nothing but Judaism. Amen. What are you going to do with Jonah? He went to Gentiles and preached at the behest of God. God said, do it. And Jonah didn't think they deserved it, but God said, everybody deserves a chance at salvation. Everybody deserves a chance to get right with God. Hey, it don't matter what you came from or what your background is. Everybody deserves a chance to get right with God. That's why this church is here tonight. That's not in my notes, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You're important. You mean something to God tonight. Come on, let's give God praise. Woo! Some of these men spoke solely to Gentile nations. I've already mentioned Jonah, but then there's another man by the name of Nahum that preached to Nineveh. Obadiah preached to Edom. The minor prophets are God speaking a brief conversation with Israel, while the major prophets were long involved discourse for many years. However, don't let yourself think for a moment that because we refer to them as minor prophets, that what they had to say was of less importance. The Bible was written by holy men of God, and they spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those major and minor prophets all were pointing back to God and saying, get right with Him. And if you'll get right with Him, you'll find a God that will love you. You'll find a God that'll help you. You'll find a God that'll lift you. Woo! Man, you read through the prophetic writings of these prophets, you find that God is desperately in love with His people. And through the voice of these prophets, God would show forth His passion for His people. Through the weeping and the wailing of the prophets, the willing people would return to God. And as they would return to God, hell would grow angry. Hell would always have another trap laid to try to ensnare the people and bring them back away from God. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that everything God loves, the devil hates it tonight. Everything that God cares about, the devil is interested in trying to tear it down. His job is to steal and to kill and to destroy tonight. He'll try to convince you that you're missing out by being in church. He'll try to tell you that you're going to be a fuddy-duddy if you get in church. But I'm telling you tonight, this is where real living is. Pastor Zun said it tonight. You haven't started living till you get in the church. So the enemy, doing everything that he could to try to tear down the Word of God. It's troubling to consider that a nation that had experienced so much of the power of God, that had experienced so much of the victories that God could give, would turn to fake idol gods that could neither see nor hear, and would pray to them after they were serving the God that made heaven and earth. Israel had turned her back on God, and that God that had brought them out of Egypt. Judah had ceased to give praise unto God and had failed to give glory to the one that had created an everlasting covenant with his father Israel. And all of the preaching of the prophets, the nation of Israel had fallen, and tucked away in the minor prophets was this little bit of writing by a man named Micah. Micah identified himself from a village in the agricultural foothills of Judah near Gath. No other information about his family or occupation is given, except the names of the rulers he lived under, leaving the suggestion that he was a plain country resident that God called to deliver a message to the city folks over in Jerusalem. He called a farmer out of the fields and said, I got a word to give to some backsliders. I got a word to give to some people that's turned away from me. I've got a word for you to give to some folks that have forgotten who loves them and who cares about them. I've got a word for somebody here tonight that the devil's tripped you up. The devil's tricked you up. The devil's caused you to fall. Amen. But I've come to preach some help tonight. I've come to preach some hope tonight. I've come to extend a hand to you tonight through the preached word of God. This prophet, like many of his contemporaries, preached a message of judgment. Hey, sometimes God's got to ring your bell. Sometimes God's got to press the doorbell and get our attention. Calls us to understand, I'm not against you, I'm for you. I love you, and because I love you, I'm talking straight up to you. I'm trying to get your attention. See, God's a jealous God. God's a jealous God. He does not put up with idolatry in our life. He's either the Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He's not going to take second place to anything or anybody. Come on, you got to put God first tonight. You got to put God first. God reminds Israel of a coming Messiah through this country preacher. He said in 5:2 of his writings, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah reveals to us the nature of God from eternity as one whose goings forth from himself to others have been from the old times to everlasting. Thus, there has never been a time where God, the God of the Bible, has been silent. Amen. But rather, he's always been preaching and he's always been reaching. The people of God had failed. They had turned their back on the things of God. Israel had succumbed to the adversary of their souls. And you know that made hell happy. Every time they bowed in front of a dumb idol, you know hell got a kick out of that. Every time they threw their children to a stupid idol and burnt their children on altars of sacrifice, you know hell laughed with glee. You know what? Hell's happy tonight because there's some folks that have fallen by the wayside. Hell's happy tonight because there's some people that stop up their ears at the preaching of the word of God. Hell's happy tonight because it seems that the nation is in decline and the world is in decline. Hell tonight is knowing that its time is short, and so it's kicking up its heels and it's throwing itself a party. But I want to serve notice on the devil, and I want to serve notice on hell. Don't get too happy yet. Don't get the party fired up too much yet. He'd like to make you feel the same despair he feels. He'd like to get you to commit suicide and destroy your life. But devil, don't start your party yet. The devil has some that are already in his grip tonight that serve him well. But what he really sets his target on is those of you that have walked through the doors of this church tonight. You may not have the Holy Ghost yet. You may not be fully in yet spiritually, but you're coming to church. And the devil's kicked it up and throttled it up. And he's doing everything he can to suck you back out, pull you back out. He's doing everything he can to try to talk you out of this and say it doesn't take that. You don't have to live it that way. You don't have to do it that way. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Hell has a party because you're struggling tonight, because you're wrestling with this tonight. Hell's laughing with glee every time you hang back when the altar call's given. But I want to let the devil know, don't start your party yet. You ain't got them yet. You ain't won yet. The devil smiled when you failed. The devil got excited when you tripped up this week. He told you you couldn't live for God from Sunday to Wednesday. Look at you. You a mess. You old hypocrite. You can't live for God. Why did you go to church tonight? You know why I came? That's what you got to tell him. You know why I came? Because that's where my help's at. That's where my strength's at. That's where my hope's at. That's where my restoration's at. And if I listen to the devil, I never come to church. But I'm not listening to the devil. So devil, don't start your party yet. Judah, you let the Lord down. You lost your praise. You put your tambourine down. You got quiet when you should have been shouting. You sat there with a scowl on your face. And you listened to the lie of the enemy when he told you you don't have anything to praise God for. You know, if he can't get you to fail, if he can't get you to trip up, he'll try to get you to be miserable in the church house. He'll try to get you to climb up on the seat of the scornful. He'll try to get you to be critical of everything that's going on in the church. He'll try to get you to be critical. Listen, he'll try to get you to be critical of how loud it is. He'll try to get you to be critical of what the preacher's preaching. He'll try to get you to be critical of what songs they're singing and how people are worshiping. Oh, the devil will try to steal your worship. And Brother Micah, whoo, he got distraught. I can tell you as a preacher, sometimes you can preach and feel frustrated because you know the one you're preaching to, you go put your finger on their nose and they ain't making a move. And they're not changing and they're not getting right with God. And Micah was doing everything he could and he was distraught. And chapter 7 opens up. He says, whoa! Is me. Every now and then the preacher feels that way. You look at him and you see him in this limelight, whatever you want to call that. Amen. You see him in the pulpit, but you don't see when he's at home crying his eyes out. You don't see him when he's agonizing under a pew over somebody that won't get right and do right. He said, "Woe is me." And the deplorable condition of his society had weighed him down. And I'll tell you tonight that if the devil can't get you to sin, he will try to make us miserable. He will try to make us miserable by looking at those around us who are not doing what they're supposed to do. Micah said, "Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." There was scarcely a righteous person to be found. And everywhere Micah looked, he saw trouble. It's kind of like the generation that you and I are living in right now. Every time we look up, it's something new. Some kind of new perversion, some kind of new wickedness, some kind of unrighteousness going on all around us. It seems that unrighteousness is prevailing in our world, and it seems to even creep into our midst. Amen. But we've got to be careful about how we're looking at everything. Amen. Micah, somewhere in all of the trouble, he had got so focused on it that he failed to understand that there's something better coming. There's something greater coming. And right there in the midst of impending judgment, the Spirit of the Lord moved on him to look in a different direction. I feel like the Holy Ghost is moving over this congregation tonight to get us to look in a new direction. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I know there's trouble all around. I know there's people here and there that have quit and backslid. I know there are those who have walked away. But I'm here tonight to tell us and remind us. Sometimes we just got to realign our vision and hear the word of the Lord. Micah said, "Therefore, I will look unto the Lord." The devil wants us to focus our attention on everything that's bad, everything that's wrong. He wants you to focus on all the mistakes you've made. He wants you to focus on all your failures and all your faults. Even some of the things that you took to the waters of baptism, the devil's tried his best to turn your eyes back toward that and tell you that's what you really are. You might as well go back to that. Oh, I want to tell the devil tonight, we're not listening to you and we're not looking to that. We're looking to the Lord. The Lord moved over the heart of Micah and reminded him, you got to wait on the Lord. He said, "I will wait on the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Somebody tonight needs to remember that God is going to listen to what you've been praying about. It don't matter how much is going wrong at home. It don't matter what hell you're going through in your marriage. God's going to hear you. God's going to come through for you. Oh, somebody needs to get a hold of this tonight. Hell's been having a heyday. Hell's been having a party in your mind. But we're about to shut the party down. We're about to have a party of our own. Oh, somebody tonight needs to understand that God's on your side. Come on, let's lift up our hands to the Lord here tonight. Woo. Come on, I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. It's time to take the party hat off the devil. It's time to take his noisemaker out of his mouth. It's time to say, it's time to shut it down, devil. Don't start your party yet. I haven't quit. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not walking out the door. There's a revival about to hit my family. There's a revival about to hit my house. My children are about to get the Holy Ghost. My husband's about to get the Holy Ghost. My wife's about to get the Holy Ghost. Don't start your party yet, devil. Woo! I just want to send a little help to somebody here tonight. Maybe you fell flat on your face this week. Maybe you skinned your knees up real good and proper. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, thought something you shouldn't have thought. Let me tell you here tonight, the enemy will have a heyday with that. He'll tempt you to do wrong, and then when you do it, he'll beat the daylights out of you for doing it. That's the condemnation of the devil. And it'll take your shout from you. It'll take your joy from you. It'll take your peace from you. Oh, my Lord. Amen. And the devil will start having a heyday, and the devil will start having a party. But Micah made this statement right in the midst of a bunch of people that were making a royal mess. He said to the devil, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy." Mr. Devil, don't get too excited. Oh, the devil don't like this tonight. Don't get too excited. Don't get too happy because of the mistakes that I've made. Don't get too happy because of the failures in my life. Don't get too happy because of the things that I've done wrong. I want you to know, devil, don't rejoice against me. Don't start your party yet. I know you thought I was going to throw in the towel. I know you thought I was going to quit the church. I know you thought I was going to walk out. But don't start your party yet. Oh, somebody on this hot Wednesday night where you're tired and weary needs to rise up and let the devil know you don't have me. You're not going to get me. So don't start your party yet. You might have knocked me down. You might have hit me with a blow that shook me. And this is what the prophet said. When I fall, not if I fall. He said, when I fall. Now look, we're not making excuses for living shabby. We're not making excuses for living loose. That's not what we're doing here tonight. But I want to tell somebody in the house that the devil's convinced you because you failed God in some way. Because you let God down in some way. And he tells you you'll never be good enough. You know what you got to do? You got to look at the devil and say, you're right, I'll never be good enough by myself. But I'm not in this by myself. I'm not in this alone. I'm not fighting this battle by myself. I'm not by myself, devil. He said, when I fall, this is what I'm going to do. You got to get a good old-fashioned dose of the get up in you. You got to get the reverse and just go ahead and rip that out of your transmission. You got to get the backup out of you. You got to plunge forward and say, you know what? It don't matter. If I fall 55 times, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep going forward. He said, when I fall, I shall arise. Did you hear that, devil? I'm going to get back up. Somebody needs to get a get back up praise in your feet. Somebody needs to get a get back up praise. A get back up shout. somebody's going to get it tonight. Somebody's going to get it tonight. The devil don't like it when you run the aisles. The devil don't like it when you shout. The devil don't like it when you praise. But don't start your party, devil. Watch me have one of my own. When I sit in darkness, let me just tell you, devil, you hit me with your best shot. You let the darkness press in around me. And sometimes I feel so depressed and so alone that it don't feel like I can hardly breathe. But let me tell you something, devil, don't you start that party yet. He caught my shot. You get them suicidal thoughts out of your mind, ma'am. You might feel like you're sitting in darkness, but I want to give you a little hope here tonight. There's a great light. There's a great light tonight that is in this house. Amen. And the prophet Micah said, the Lord is going to be my light. It might be dark all around you. You might have to go home to an unsaved spouse, but there's a light inside of you. There's a light inside of you. Said, the Lord's going to be a light unto me. My heart might be broken. My spirit may be crushed. But devil, don't start your party yet. Me and my oldest son, Dakota, we was traveling last night, went down, preached in Magnolia for the other moats. And you the original moats, hallelujah. Amen. You can tell him I said that. Praise God. Tell sweet daddy I said that. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows. He knows. Praise God. We was on our way down there, and we listened to a Bible study about the war in Israel. Brother Larry Booker did a little podcast about it. We listened to that, got good and stirred up, and me and my boy got talking about the coming of the Lord. And it was so funny because we talked to my wife later about it. I'm almost finished. I know some of y'all nervous right now. I'm almost done. Amen. My wife, we talked to her about it later, and she brought up this exact same scripture. And it's the one about the devil, because we was talking about the final battle when we all going to come back and the Lord's going to lock that devil up. Yeah. But the Bible said we're going to look narrowly upon him. And we're going to be like, is this the one that caused all the trouble? Is this the one that caused all the trouble? Is this the one that caused all the heartache? Hey, quit making the devil so big in your life. Quit making the adversary so big in your life. Devil, don't you start your party yet. We're about to have a party of our own. You're going down, but we're going up. We're going up. You can't keep me down because I'm going to rise. Devil, you want me in darkness. Devil, you want me suicidal. Devil, you want me to feel like there's no hope. But don't start your party yet, Bubba. I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up. I'm closing tonight. Somebody in this room just needs to get your mind made up that you're going to live for God no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter how much you fail, no matter how much you let God down, you're going to get back up and you're going to come back to church and you're going to keep trying and you're going to keep living for God and you're going to keep loving Him. Those of you tonight that are in the valley of decision, that you can't seem to get your mind made up to live for God, the enemy is working overtime. I know what I feel in my heart tonight. The enemy is working overtime to try to pull you away and try to get you to just quit coming. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost. Why do you keep trying? Why do you keep praying? Why do you keep saying, you don't understand all of that. Why do you keep going to that church? But I want to let the devil know tonight, don't you start your party over them yet. They may not have it all figured out yet, but I believe they're well on their way. Hey, you just got to get your mind made up. You just got to get determined. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to shout. I'm going to open up my mouth. I'm going to cry out to God, and God's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And this is what Micah said. He said, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Devil, don't start your party yet. Your iniquity is going to be subdued. You're fixing to get victory tonight if you want it. Somebody needs to shake loose of some things. Somebody needs to lay aside some besetting sins and say, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm through with that. And this is what God's going to do for you. God's going to take your sin and he's going to cast it into the depths of the sea. Did you know that there are places in the ocean that man cannot even get an electronic device to? There are places in the depths of the ocean that no man has ever gone before. And I don't think they ever will be able to. Because God said, I'm going to bury your sin into the depths of the sea. The devil wants you to remember that sin. But once you put it under the blood, God said, what sin? You need to quit letting the devil torment you about your past life. You need to quit letting the enemy try to pull you out over your past failures. Devil, don't start your party yet. I'm rising up. I'm going forward. I'm relishing his mercy. You can rise up tonight. Don't stay down. Don't stay out. Victory belongs to you tonight. Victory is at your fingertips tonight if you want it. Is anybody in this house hungry for a change in your life? Hungry for a move of God? Hungry for a work of the Holy Ghost? Tired of letting the devil talk you down? Tired of letting the devil beat you up? Amen. You need to come to this altar tonight. You need to come to this front tonight and let the devil know, don't start your party yet. There's victory in store for me. Come on, get up with somebody tonight. Connect with somebody tonight and tell them we got victory in Jesus. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost tonight, tonight. I wouldn't let anybody get in my way. I wouldn't let anybody hold me back. Come on, there's victory. Devil, don't start your party yet. We're going to party a little bit of our own.